Finishing.com, the homepage of the finishing industry, presents the Metal Finishing Industry Update Podcast.
Hi, this is Kate Miner with update number 162 for the week of April 5th, 2010. This week, Finishing.com would like to welcome Blackworks LLC as a new supporting advertiser in the Capital Equipment Directory. Located in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Blackworks brings high-tech, state-of-the-art black oxide equipment technology to the individual entrepreneur and small business alike. Blackworks does not sell directly to the public, but their products are available through their exclusive distributor, TPS Products, LLC. For more information on Blackworks, please visit their WorldLink listing in the Capital Equipment Directory. In other advertiser news, Cleveland Black Oxide, located in Cleveland, Ohio, issued a press release on April 1st regarding new applications for their black oxide finishes. Cleveland Black Oxide has seen some pretty odd applications for their black oxide finishes over the years. Slinky toys, bullet casings, printed circuits, and large architectural panels, to name a few. And recently, they've added chainmail and animal containment netting to the list. Metal chain and netting, usually stainless steel, is used in many applications from protective, decorative, and historical reenactment clothing to steel curtains, animal containment, and zoo aviaries. Cleveland Black Oxide is a favorite with chainmail and netting manufacturers because of their ability to black oxide stainless steel consistently. They also have some of the largest black oxide tanks in the industry and can handle these jobs more efficiently. Cleveland Black Oxide has developed special reels and handling equipment specifically for chainmail and netting manufacturers, as well as for stainless steel wire rope and wire manufacturers. Cable and wire is fed from 100-pound reels and processed through the tanks. To read the full press release, please visit Cleveland Black Oxide's WorldLink listing in the Job Shops directory. In National Association for Surface Finishing News, the NASF is pleased to announce that William Crystal, editor of the Washington-based magazine The Weekly Standard, will be the keynote speaker at the 2010 Washington Forum, taking place April 27th through the 29th in Washington, D.C. Here are excerpts from the NASF Washington Report for March 2010. Item: the NASF is working with the Minnesota Association of Metal Finishers to propose a voluntary industry partnership with U.S. EPA Region 5, the State of Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and local municipal wastewater authorities to minimize and eliminate the finishing industry's use of long-chain perfluorinated chemicals in fume suppressants. The industry is proposing a pilot project with U.S. EPA to build on the leadership already taken by Keystone Automotive in Brainerd and Superior Plating in St. Paul. Item: NASF will kick off a series of webinars on April 14th and May 11th to prepare U.S. finishing operations for the upcoming July 2010 compliance deadline for U.S. EPA's plating and polishing rule. While NASF has developed and published guidance on the rule this past year and briefed audiences around the country, the looming deadline has prompted a recent wave of questions and concerns over interpretation of key provisions of the rule. The April 14th compliance session, led by Jeff Hannipal and Christian Richter from NASF Government and Industry Affairs, will train Minnesota-based companies as part of the Minnesota Association of Metal Finishers service to NASF members and non-member companies. NASF will then offer a May 11th webinar to reach a broader nationwide finishing audience for job shops, captive operations, and interested suppliers. A June training date will follow if needed based on additional demand. July 2010 compliance, are you ready? EPA published the final rule for plating and polishing area sources in July 2008. The compliance deadline for the rule is July 1, 2010 for existing plating and polishing operations and was immediate for new affected sources. The rule covers a range of electrolytic and non-electrolytic plating and coating processes, as well as electroforming, dry mechanical polishing, and thermal spray at about 2,900 existing facilities. Item: OSHA just issued a follow-up rule in response to a major federal appeals court decision that upheld the agency's hexavalent chromium workplace exposure limit of 5 micrograms per cubic meter. In its February 28, 2006 final workplace exposure standard for hexavalent chromium, OSHA required notification of exposure monitoring results to employees only if the exposure exceeded the permissible exposure limit, or PEL. The court upheld OSHA's final hexavalent chromium workplace exposure standard, except for this notification provision. The three-judge panel ruled that OSHA had not provided a sufficient statement of reasons to limit the notification only for exposures over the PEL. In response to the court's ruling, OSHA has issued a direct final rule that revises the notification provisions to require employers to notify employees of the results of all exposure monitoring determinations made for the hexavalent chromium workplace exposure standard. Pursuant to these revised notification requirements, when employers conduct hexavalent chromium workplace exposure monitoring, they will have to notify the employees of all results, and not just those that exceed the PEL or action level. The direct final rule will become effective on June 15, 2010, unless any significant adverse comments are submitted on the revised notification requirements. Item: OSHA has issued a directive announcing its National Emphasis Program for the Hexavalent Chromium Workplace Exposure Standard finalized on February 28, 2006. The final compliance deadline for companies to comply with the 5 micrograms per cubic meter standard is May 2010. Item: EPA announced that it plans to phase in regulation of greenhouse gases beginning in January 2011. With the signing of the final light-duty vehicle rule, greenhouse gases will become a regulated pollutant under the Clean Air Act. For more information about the NASF Washington Report, please contact Christian Richter at CRICHTER at thepolicygroup.com or Jeff Hannipel at JHANNAPEL at thepolicygroup.com. Here's the calendar of events through April. On April 6th and 7th, the Metal Finishing Associations of Northern and Southern California will hold their 2010 Legislative Action Day at Sheraton Grand in Sacramento, California. On April 8th, the Orange County branch of the NASF will have a dinner meeting in Orange, California. Topic will be plating equipment. Also on April 8th, the Grand Rapids branch of the AESF will have a dinner meeting in Grand Rapids, Michigan. On April 13th through the 15th, Metal Finishing News Shot Peening Workshop will take place in Dordrecht, Holland. On April 13th through the 16th, Third Paint Expo, leading European trade fair for industrial coating technology, will be held at the Karlsruhe Exhibition Center in Karlsruhe, Germany. On April 15th, there will be a joint MAMF-AESF dinner meeting at Maggiano's in Hackensack, New Jersey. Guest speaker will be Skip Griffin of Epic Industrial on understanding trivalent passivates. On April 16th, the AESF Foundation will hold a troubleshooting wastewater treatment webinar. On April 20th through the 22nd, Metal Finishing News Shot Peening Workshop will take place in Altena, Germany. On April 22nd through the 24th, the AESF Foundation Electroless Nickel Deposition Course will be held in Phoenix, Arizona. On April 23rd, the International Hard Anodizing Association's Directors Meeting will take place in Utrecht, Netherlands. On April 27th through the 29th, the NASF 2010 Washington Forum will be held at the L'Enfant Plaza Hotel in Washington, D.C. And on April 29th, Metal Finishing News Flap Peening Workshop, sponsored by 3M, will take place in Neuss, Germany. And for more information on all of these upcoming events, please click on the calendar on our homepage. Well, that wraps up the podcast for this week. Until next time, thanks for joining us.